The New Testament boldly announces that believers are not under the law. Paul says in Romans 6:14, "For you are not under the law, but under grace." What does "not under the law" mean? Well, as you can imagine, several answers have been given to that question. One common answer is that believers are not under the civil and ceremonial law of the Old Testament, but they're still under the moral law of Moses, namely the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, includes observing Saturday as the Sabbath. That explanation divides the Mosaic law into three parts: the moral, the civil, and the ceremonial. Then it says that believers are not under the civil and ceremonial law. For example, you don't have to take a sacrifice to the tabernacle. But they're still under the moral law. Some who take this approach keep Saturday as the Sabbath, and others will say Sunday is the Sabbath. One of the problems with this answer is that nowhere in the Bible is the Mosaic law divided into three parts. That is a man-made notion imposed on the law. The Mosaic law is a unit. As a matter of fact, the expression "whole law" appears in Galatians 5:3 and James 2:10. A second answer. Many modern scholars have concluded that believers are not under the condemnation of the law. They say that in this case, the word "law" is limited to the sense of law as condemning us. One scholar who's written a commentary on Romans supports this view by saying "under law" is in contrast to "under grace." Therefore, he reasons that Paul's bold statement that believers are not under the law means that they're not under God's condemnation pronounced by the law, but they're under grace, his undeserved favor. If that is what Paul meant, why didn't he say it like that? The third possibility is that "under the law" means just that, under the law. Paul says we're not under the law, meaning not under any of the Mosaic law at all. Wow. If that's the correct interpretation, does that mean believers are lawless? As you can see, this is an interesting question. Actually, there are two basic questions. The first is, what does the little expression "under the law" mean? And the second is, what does the expression "under grace" mean? In order to answer those two questions, we need to look at several passages of Scripture. The first is Romans 7. Actually, I'd like to begin with Romans 6, and we'll get to Romans 7, which is the real aim. Remember in Romans 6:14, Paul says, "For you're not under the law, but under grace." That prompts him to ask in verse 15, "What then shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace?" He answers that question by making two points, both of which are introduced by the phrase, "Do you not know?" He uses that expression in Romans 6:15 and in Romans 7:1, which is what we're going to get to in a minute. But first, Paul explains that believers, having been freed from sin, should now live as slaves of righteousness. That's his first answer to "shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace," and he gives it in the latter part of chapter 6. His second answer is in Romans 7, where he establishes that the law reigns only as long as a person is alive. It's that second answer in Romans 7 that I want us to look at more carefully. He says in Romans 7:1, "Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. In the Greek text, there's no article, that is the little word the, before the word law. Paul is not referring to any particular law. He's talking about the general principle of all law at this point. Life is filled with laws that we must obey. In America, we must drive on the right side of the street. We must pay taxes. We must not rob banks. But when we die, those laws no longer apply. Law only applies to people who are alive. It does not apply to people who are dead. Paul elaborates on this point using the law of marriage as an illustration. He says in Romans 7:2, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband." Marriage is lifelong. If, however, the husband dies, the wife is released from the law of marriage. She's no longer married. Now, Paul goes on in verse 3, which sounds like a repetition of verse 2, but it's not. It's an explanation of the illustration in verse 2. At any rate, in verse 3, he says, "So then, if, while the husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so that she's no adulteress, although she has married another man." Again, marriage, is for life. So, if a wife marries another man while her husband is still alive, she's an adulteress. On the other hand, if her husband dies, she's free from the law of marriage, and she can marry someone else. So, Paul illustrates that law reigns only as long as people are alive by pointing out that a wife is bound by her husband only as long as he lives, and when he dies, she's free to marry somebody else. Paul applies the principle that he has illustrated by concluding, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." That's Romans 7:4, and it's a very important verse in this discussion. In the Greek text, there is an article, the little word the, before the word law. At this point, Paul is talking about a specific law, which we know from the context is the Mosaic law. So, let me see if I can put all this together. Starting in Romans 6, Paul teaches that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believers have been partakers of the death of Christ and placed into Christ himself. Being united to Christ's death means believers are dead. They're dead to sin in Romans 6, and now in Romans 7, they're dead to the law. What does dead to the law mean? Does that include the whole Mosaic law? It's obvious that Paul has the moral law as well as the civil and ceremonial law in mind in Romans 7, because in verse 7 he mentions coveting, which of course is part of the Ten Commandments. Therefore, according to Romans 7, since believers have been placed into Christ's death, they are dead to the Mosaic law, including the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. The purpose of believers being dead to the law is stated in verse 4, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Believers being baptized into the death of Christ makes them dead to the Mosaic law. But continuing his illustration, Paul says, believers being baptized into the resurrection of Christ means that they are alive and can be married to the Lord. the purpose of our marriage to the Lord is, quote, that we may bear fruit to God. Out of the intimacy of marriage comes the fruit of children. So out of our intimacy with Christ comes the fruit of practical righteousness. Matter of fact, that's stated in Romans 6:22. The fruit, the wages, the end result of sin is death, Romans 6:23. As the old marriage produced fruit, namely death, so should the new marriage produce fruit, that is, righteousness. Thus Paul adds in Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should live in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Believers have been delivered from the law by their death to the law. The result of this death and deliverance is that believers are now able to serve in the newness of life, a new life in the Holy Spirit, not in the old way of trying to live by the written law of Moses. So to sum up, Romans 7 is teaching that believers are dead to the law so that they can be alive to God and bear the fruit of righteousness. This means that believers are not under any of the Mosaic law, including the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Believers should live a new life by the Holy Spirit. They should not be living by the Mosaic law. They're dead to it. The second passage that we need to consider is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul contrasts the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. He calls the Old Covenant the letter, which was written and engraven in stones. He says that while it was glorious, it was a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of death. He calls the New Covenant the Spirit. And he says it is a ministry of righteousness and gives life. He goes on to say that the old covenant, the law, is passing away. Keep in mind, he's talking about that which was written and engraven in stone. That is the Ten Commandments, which includes keeping Saturday as the Sabbath. The point in 2 Corinthians 3 is that the law is transitory, it's temporary, and the New Testament ministry is permanent. So according to 2 Corinthians 3, life is in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, in verse 18, Paul says, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are now being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. All believers can behold the glory of the Lord in the Scripture and be transformed by the Spirit of the Lord into the image of the Lord from glory to glory. Believers should not live a life under the law. Believers should live a life of the Spirit, focusing on the Lord and the Word, having the Holy Spirit transform them into the likeness of Christ. That's the point of 2 Corinthians 3. The Mosaic law is passing away. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live a life that transforms us into the very image of Christ. The next passage we need to look at is in Galatians. In Galatians 3:24, Paul says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. If you have a Bible, it would be helpful if you looked at that verse. I say that because there are several words in it that are in italics, namely, to bring us. Now, as you know, when the words are in italics in an English translation, it means that those words are not in the Greek text. So the Greek text says the law was our tutor to Christ. It doesn't say to bring us to Christ. It just says until Christ comes. So the Greek word translated tutor is the issue. The law was our tutor until Christ got here. The word tutor means guardian. The Greeks used to trust their slaves to be guardians to their sons from the age of 6 to puberty. Instruction was not the function of the tutor. He guarded the child against the evils of society and accompanied him to and from school. The function of the law was to protect Israel until Christ came. Having stated that the law was a guardian until Christ came, Paul goes on to say, quote, but after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. End of quote, Galatians 3:25. Please look at that verse carefully. It is critical to this discussion. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. And clearly in this passage, the Mosaic law is the tutor. After faith has come, we're no longer under the Mosaic law. That is clearly stated in Galatians 3:24 and 25. The Mosaic law here includes the moral law, which includes Saturday as the Sabbath. I know that because later in Galatians, Paul says in chapter 4, you observe days, months, and seasons, and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain. That's Galatians 4:10 and 11. Days refers, or at least includes, the Saturday as the Sabbath. It probably also includes the feast days observed on single days, and others took several days, but it includes perhaps those. Months refers to the monthly observance, the new moons, for example. Seasons refer to those feasts that took more than one day, such as Passover and Pentecost. Years is a reference to the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee. In other words, the Galatian Gentile believers were choosing to observe the ceremonial and moral law of Moses to try to secure divine favor. The Greek word observe means to observe scrupulously. They were painstakingly observing the law. No wonder Paul says, I'm afraid of you, lest I labored for you in vain. He contemplates the possibility that all of his labor to make them spiritually mature has been a waste of time. So, Paul insists that Christ has set believers free from the Mosaic law and they should not return to it. He declares, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free and do not be entangled again in a yoke of bondage, in Galatians 5:1. The Galatians were already keeping the Sabbath. We saw that in Galatians 4:10 and 11. And they were contemplating being circumcised, according to Galatians 5:2. So Paul tells them that if they do that, they are a debtor to keep the whole law. He says that in Galatians 5:3. He explains that freedom from the law should not be used as an opportunity of the flesh, rather than living by the Mosaic law or fleshly liberty. Believers should walk by means of the Spirit so that they do not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but can produce the fruit of the Spirit. They should, by faith through the Spirit, love one another and serve one another. Now, what I've just done in making all those statements is summarize Galatians 5. In short, believers are free from the law of Moses, including keeping Saturday as the Sabbath, and they're under the law of Christ, which is stated in Galatians 6:2, which is the law of love. It is the royal law of love, according to James. Believers should live by faith through the Holy Spirit. They should not be living by the Mosaic law. They have been freed from it. The next passage we need to look at is in Colossians 2, where Paul says, having wiped out the handwritten requirements against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of way, having nailed it to the cross. That's Colossians 2:14. The phrase, the handwriting of requirements, is obviously a reference to the Mosaic law. The Ten Commandments were requirements written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. That law was against us, or to state the case a little strongly, it was contrary to us. In his death on the cross, Christ dealt the death blow to the law. That is expressed several ways in this verse. Paul says he wiped out the handwriting of requirements. The Greek word wiped out signifies a cancellation or an erasing. When a debt was canceled, a large X was placed over the document. In a similar fashion, the ordinances of the Mosaic law declare that sinful man owe a debt of death. By his death, Christ canceled the debt. Secondly, in that verse, Christ says he has taken it out of the way, which literally means he removed it, he carried it off. In the Greek text, the phrase is in the perfect tense, indicating that Christ took it out of the way in the past, and it is still out of the way. This declares a permanent removal. The believers do not need to fear that penalty of a broken law, which will return later to haunt them. Thirdly, Paul says Christ nailed it to the cross. This may be an allusion to the ancient custom of nailing a copy of a nullified decree in a public place. At any rate, by using these phrases in Colossians 2:14, Paul is saying we're not under the Mosaic law. The writing against us has been erased. The document contrary to us has been torn up. The notice contrary to us has been set aside. Believers have been freed from the Mosaic law. Now, Paul goes on to say in Colossians 2:16, therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a feast or a new moon or Sabbaths. The word therefore points back to the preceding verse, especially 2:14, where Paul demonstrated that by the death of Christ, he nailed the law to the cross and thus eliminated it from the believer's life. Now he gets specific, urging believers not to let anyone judge them in respect to the specific law of Moses. When Paul says in food or drink, he's referring to the Mosaic dietary laws concerning clean and unclean food. When he says a feast or new moon or Sabbaths, he's referring to the annual, monthly, weekly, holy days on the Jewish calendar. The festivals were Pentecost, Passover, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The new moon marked the observance of the linear calendar. It was a day of rest, fellowship, worship, and eating. The Sabbath is an obvious reference to the weekly observance of Saturday. On that day, Israel did not work but rested and remembered the divine work of creation and our covenant relationship to God. So Paul insists that believers are not under any of the Mosaic law. It has been nailed to the cross. It's been wiped out. It's been taken away. This includes the Ten Commandments, which was only part of the Mosaic law that was written by God. It was written by his finger. Paul goes on to say that believers died with Christ and therefore should not be subject to the regulations of the law. So in Colossians 2, Paul declares that believers should not let anyone judge them concerning the specifics of the Mosaic law, because, to quote Paul, it was a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Colossians 2:17. The rules of the Mosaic legislation were shadows of things to come, but the reality is Jesus Christ. Since believers are raised with Christ, they should set their mind on things above, Colossians 3:1, and love one another, Colossians 3:14. Believers should live as unto the Lord. They should not be living by the Mosaic law. He nailed it to the cross. The next passage we should look at is Hebrews 8. In Hebrews 8, the writer insists that the presence of the new covenant not only demonstrates that the first covenant, that's the Mosaic law, was not sufficient, it shows that the first covenant is obsolete. He says in Hebrews 8:13, in that he says in the Old Testament, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is already to vanishing away. That's Hebrews 8:13. The word obsolete occurs twice in that verse. In the Greek text, the first appearance is in the perfect tense, meaning that the first covenant has become obsolete with the result that it is obsolete in the present. The second occurrence is in the present tense, which seems to suggest that even though God has made it obsolete, it is still in the process of becoming obsolete. To say the same thing another way, the first covenant is growing old. As people grow old, they eventually die. Likewise, the first covenant is growing old. Death is inevitable. To use another figure, it's ready to vanish away. The Greek word that means disappear. The form of the verb vanish away is used in James 4:14 as a vapor that quickly disappears. At the time the writer penned these words, the ceremonies of the Mosaic covenant were still being conducted in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus had predicted that the temple would be destroyed back in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. In 70 AD, the Roman general Titus did indeed destroy the temple. From that moment till this, the rituals of the Mosaic covenant disappeared. When the writer wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, it was about to happen. Shortly thereafter, it did. The point of the writer of Hebrews is that we have in Christ a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, so that we should come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. That's Romans 4:16. The writer warns his readers not to fall short of the grace of God, which is what he says in 12:15. Believers should live by coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain grace to live as God has instructed them in the new covenant. They should not be living by the Mosaic law. It is obsolete. Now, let me summarize all of this and make an observation or two. Believers are not under any of the Mosaic law, including the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which includes keeping Saturday as the Sabbath. They are under grace. By faith, through the Spirit, they are to love one another. Now, that's the sum of all that we have talked about. But let me make a couple of observations. Very simply, believers are not under any of the Mosaic law, including the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which includes the Saturday Sabbath. Romans teaches that believers are not under the Mosaic law and mentions coveting, which is part of the Ten Commandments. 2 Corinthians says the Mosaic law is passing away and speaks specifically of that which was written and engraven in stone, that is, the Ten Commandments, which includes Saturday as the Sabbath. Galatians says believers are not under the Mosaic law and specifically mentions the Sabbath in Galatians 4:10 and 11, which is part of the Ten Commandments. Colossians says that the law has been wiped away, taken out of the way, and talks about the handwriting of requirements, a reference to the Ten Commandments, and specifically includes the Sabbath in Colossians 2:16. Hebrews says the Mosaic law has become obsolete. There is a danger in trying to live under the Mosaic law. Paul declares, "Sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produces in me all manner of evil desires." That's in Romans 7:8. The law not only reveals sin, it stirs up sin. Read Romans 7:8. The law is not sin, but it causes sin. How can law cause sin? Paul personalizes sin and says it took opportunity when the Mosaic law came along. The word translated opportunity means starting point. In the context of war, it was used of the foothold or beachhead. When the Mosaic law came along, it revealed sin. The consequences of sin becomes the foothold for the Mosaic law to arouse all manner of evil desires. That's what Paul is teaching in Romans 7:8. Concerning this verse, one great Greek scholar, A.T. Robertson, said, and I quote, "The command not to lust made us lust more," end of quote. No wonder that Paul says that living by rules and regulations has no value against the indulgence of the flesh. He says that in Colossians 2:23. Living by law does not work. It makes one self-righteous and possibly judgmental. It does not, it cannot produce conformity to Christ. Does that mean that believers are lawless? No. Believers are under the law of Christ. The Bible says that in Galatians 6:2 and in 1 Corinthians 9:21. And the law of Christ is the law of love. And love fulfills the law. This is very important. This is one of the most important things you need to note in this whole discussion. Look at Romans 8:13 and then verse 10. In Romans 13, Paul says, "Love knows no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." That's Romans 13:10. For example, the Mosaic law says, "Do not steal." But there is no power in the Mosaic law to enable you to keep that law. On the other hand, if believers, by the grace of God, practice love, they will not steal. Loving God and other people by the grace of God fulfills the law. If I love you by the grace of God, I'm not going to steal what belongs to you. But if you try to live by the law by itself, you will discover that at times you will fail. But if you live by grace and God's word, you have the power to love, and love fulfills the law. Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote, Romans 7 is one of the most misunderstood chapters in the Bible because most people read it with an attitude. It can't possibly mean what it says. The theme is that the believer is no longer under the law of God because he's been joined to Christ in his resurrection. Like an inexperienced swimmer, the average Christian stands in terror of such deep water as complete abandonment to the grace of God. He fears to be borne along on the will of God in his daily life, to cast himself completely on the direction of the Holy Spirit. But once he gets over the panic of such self-abandonment, he finds that the grace of God sustains, carries, cuddles, and calms him, and he lives entirely, eternity in time. This is the purpose of Romans 7, to help the willing believer cast himself into the depths of grace. End of quote. Griffith Thomas wrote, "The instruction about the law is necessary because of the danger to believers being in bondage to the law and not enjoying the liberty of grace." Some believers are in bondage to the law. They focus on it, painstakingly try to keep it, and convert others to it. Just talk to a lawkeeper. All they want to talk about is the Mosaic law. They seem to think that if they just could persuade people to keep the Mosaic law, their job is done. They are in bondage to the law and want others to join them in their bondage. Law-keeping tends to produce pride and a judgmental attitude towards others who do not agree with them. Believers who live by grace are focused on the Lord, not law. They, by faith through the Holy Spirit, love people, and that produces humility and graciousness. Are believers under the Mosaic law? No, not any of it. Believers are under the law of Christ, the law of love, and by the grace of God, they can practice love, and in so doing, will be conformed to the image of Christ.